Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday morning Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm delighted this morning to have as my guest Pastor John Arnold, who is co-pastor, along with his wife Susan, of the First Presbyterian Church in Texarkana, Arkansas. And John and I have become friends through our mutual friend, Allison Lewis, who is an ardent path trainer. And as we were saying in the show, Allison, if you're listening, if you can't get excited when you're around Allison Lewis, you do not have a pulse. So, and John has an exciting topic to discuss with us this morning. He is one of the, maybe the nation's, one of the finest leaders on the concept of significant transformation. So welcome, John.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I said I was talking to John about Texas roots. I'm from Texas, and he's on the border of Texas and Arkansas, so he's got the best of both worlds there. And John has a blog and a website called ThePracticalDisciple.com, ThePracticalDisciple.com, and he has a passion for making discipleship practical and eliminating should-itis. So, John, let's talk about significant transformation and change. In the pre-talk interview, we talked about what are some signs that a person might be resisting change, and why do we do that?
Well, you know, when we start learning and growing stuff in something, people will get excited initially, and they jump on board, and they'll go to classes or workshops, and they'll start studying, and they'll start doing some work. And then what I've observed is there's a pattern where once we get enough knowledge and understanding on our belt, where it begins to challenge who we've been, where our identity has to change a little bit for us to grow into that, that we naturally start exhibiting some resistance to that. And you can particularly see this when folks will start, and we've all been there, jump from guru to guru. You know, they get excited about something they want to learn, and they go to a workshop or they go to a weekend, and they come back and they're all fired up, and they come back and folks don't get what they've been through, their experience, so they might start to get a little resistance from people around them, and then when they start living into it and they're not quite the person they were before, they'll start to resist it. And you can see it in some ways, like I mentioned, jumping around from guru to guru. A lot of us have been, I think, conditioned by our culture to just crave newness. And so we want the next best thing constantly without living for a season into a change and really maturing in it and taking it to heart till it changes us. And there's a lot of different ways you'll see it exhibited. Sometimes folks will also, they'll backpedal, and they'll try to go back to life as usual and pretend something didn't happen, you know. They'll go on a great weekend, and they'll come back all fired up, but then when it doesn't fit their old life, they start backpedaling and just try to go back to where they once were. And, you know, we really can't. And we do that in funny, funny ways. Another thing that I've seen people do is they'll get uncomfortable inside because they're changing, they're growing, they're becoming a new person, and they'll feel that discomfort, but they don't know it's growth, and they'll often externalize the discomfort. And I call it getting if-only-itis. You know, they'll say, if only I had a different job, if only I had a different spouse, if only I had a different whatever, you can fill in the blank, then I'd be happy. And they'll oftentimes shuffle those things. They'll jump to a new job. They'll get out of a relationship and go into a new one. But what's really funny about that is we can't bypass that growth. Almost inevitably, you know, 3 months later, 6 months later, they're sitting there going, you know, this guy is just like the last guy I was dating. You know? Or this job's just like the last job I was in.
Oh,
And guess what? It isn't the job that's struggling, you know?
That's so true.
And it is.
As we're talking, I'm thinking about a 12-year-old that I just recently entertained, and I took him over to the Coronado Community Center, which has a basketball court, and you can rent bikes, and you can skateboard, and you can swim. Well, it was just too much for him because he got on the basketball court for about 5 minutes, and then he said, okay, I want to go swimming. So then he got in the pool for about 5 minutes, and then he said, okay, let's go skateboarding. And it was like,
right.
You know, really.
Right,
and he never experienced any of it, really, because he was thinking about the next thing.
Sure. And it's so predictable that we'll do this. Once you start seeing the signs of it. I had a friend, and I was describing to her kind of our learning journey of getting inspired and doing work, and then we start hitting our walls around it because we're having a change and our assumptions have been challenged. And she said, oh, my gosh, I have a woman in my congregation going through this right now. She went through some significant Bible study, and it shook up her understanding of God. It shook up her understanding of some really basic rudimentary things in her faith. And she went through this period of confusion where she just questioned everything. And in that, I said, well, let me ask you this. So is she getting divorced? Is she quitting her job, or is she moving? And she said she's getting divorced. And you think, how could that happen out of she did Bible study? That's not what we were looking for, you know. But it shook up her world, and then anything that she had some discomfort around started projecting the discomfort of the change onto that, and tries to run away from it into some other comfort. And you also see people if you're addictive about something, it doesn't even have to be classic addiction like alcoholism or drug abuse. I know when I'm resisting change, one of the things that will happen is I'll get very restless and I'll get addictive about channel surfing late at night, you know, because I'm just kind of numbing myself because I'm stewing on something or something's stirring in me, and you want an escape. And that's a real common one, too. People will leap into the Internet or into TV and just lose themselves there because they're overwhelmed by change.
Right. So what are some of the tools for getting through that?
Well, there are a couple things. It really helps, and these are, I think, lacking in our culture. It really helps to have a mentor. And particularly, you want folks around you who are going to love you regardless of the choice you make. They're going to call you on it if they think it's a bad decision, but they're going to stick by you and love you through it, because when we're going through transformative change, it's a very confusing period. And sometimes we make bad decisions in that, bad judgment choices. But we need folks around us hanging on to us, loving us, watching over us, being honest about things that they think are bad changes, but sticking near you regardless, because you need a lot of grace when you're in those transformation periods. You know, you really do.
Yeah, really, really. So
well,
what is a mentor? What's another one?
What's a mentor? You want to take some time, and you do want to back off and give yourself a grace space is what I call it, for you to just absorb the change. I'll give you an example of what that looks like. I call it anchored wandering.
I love that term.
I think it really gets at the heart of what we need to do. I was giving a talk on how we learn and grow one time, and I got to talking about hitting our walls and getting to that place of confusion and feeling lost after significant growth. And this one young girl, 20-something years old, just broke down in tears. And she had been on a mission trip experience, and that had radically challenged some of her values. She came back to her own culture and was very angry and felt very disillusioned. And there were some basic values that were going through a transformative change in her. And when she heard, when she finally put a word to what was going on, I mean, she just sobbed when she realized, I'm growing and changing, and that's what's happening right now. And I haven't lived into it. And she came to me and she said, well, what do I need to do? And I said, go take a hike. And she thought I was being flippant at first. And I said, no, I'm really serious. I said, you need some good downtime where you give yourself some grace space, go do some hiking, do some activities that you don't have to think heavily about. You can kind of lose yourself in them. Things that are rhythmic, if you do handiwork or if you play an instrument, do things where you can kind of just let yourself be. Don't work at anything. Just give yourself some time to be so that this change in you can have a grace space to get assimilated. And so what we did to do that, her anchored wandering looked like this. I said, first off, get some anchors in place. Go to your pastor. Let him know what's going on. Because she was ready to leave her church. And I said, don't do that yet, okay, and leave that in place. Mm-hmm. But tell your pastor what's going on. Get several people praying for you. Leave your membership at your current church. Those were some of her anchors. And then go ahead and do look around. I mean, it's okay. Visit some other churches. That's okay. But don't uproot. Leave yourself tethered somewhere while you explore for a little bit. And give yourself a distinct period of time to evaluate. You know, say you're going to give yourself 2 months, and in 2 months, sit down with your pastor, sit down with me, and let us know how it's going. And we'll listen. And that really worked for her because she had a grace space to live into that change. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, I'm wishing that you had been in my life through most of my 20s, 30s, 40s.
I'm still trying to be in my own life to help me.
That sounds like gosh. We don't give ourselves grace space, do we? We think there's two sides of the pole, I think, that we're talking about. One is that we're jumping from place to place like a grasshopper or blowing around like
right.
a tumbleweed.
Right.
And the other thing is we think we have to have it all figured out. You know, we think we need an answer.
And in our culture, we don't value that grace space time. I have a good friend I was talking to about this last week, and he's a computer programmer. And I was talking about that. This is really a creative process. You know, we front load ourselves with lots of things, and then we have to back away and incubate. And he said, you know, I'm in corporate America and I program, and they don't get that. I have to get all the data out on the table and I have to learn all these things. But then there comes a point where I'm saturated
mm-hmm.
and I need some time for it to just sift in and sink in. And, you know, unless I'm sitting there writing code, they don't think I'm working, you know, and I need some time to just roam around, you know, and we do. We need that roam time, and we've all been there. You know, I can't tell you how many papers I wrote in college where you study and you study and you study, and you're like, wow, I finally know this stuff, and then you go to write the paper, and it's like your brain just leaps out of your head, and it's all in there.
That's
you
right.
need that.
Just needs,
you need
needs
that
processing
space.
Time.
You need processing time, and
well,
we don't really value that in our culture. Unless we're doing, we're not doing. You know, we don't value
that,
being
that
as doing.
That is so true. Well, we've got just less than a minute here, and
okay.
I'm looking at some of your other blog topics: thorns in the rose garden of spiritual growth. 10 signs that you are resisting change, getting through the tough times, particularly now in this day and age. I think that you're speaking to a very timely topic and one that we all need to listen to and get wisdom from. And you sound like you just have a delightful sense of humor and a realistic grasp of the human condition, along with the grace that the Lord brings to us. So, Pastor John Arnold, I want to thank you so much for your time. Say hello to your wife, Susan.
I will.
To our listeners, thank you. I hope this show has been helpful to you, and tune in next week for Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you again, Pastor John. Blessings to all in Texarkana.
Super. Thank you. Blessings to you, Laurie Beth.
All righty. Thank you. Great show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.